Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is L.A. Steele. And tonight, Lila is a little tied up with her grandson here, so she won't be joining us. But we tonight we have a special guest joining George and myself. It's Maria Algieri, and she will be, actually she's on the line right now. Tonight we're going to be discussing several topics that I mentioned. We may go into the Mayan calendar, fractal consciousness, multidimensional realities, and we will be, George should be joining us very shortly. But I'm going to put Maria on. And good evening, Maria.
Good evening, Leo. I've been MIA, missing in action. It's so nice to talk to you and your listeners again.
We're glad you could join us tonight.
It was lovely that we did get to cross paths just a week ago, so that was really very exciting for me to catch up on old times.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. George's wedding was great. It was his daughter's wedding, I should say. But, it looked great. It was really a lot of fun talking to you and seeing Sal. And, I don't know where George is. I'm surprised he hasn't called yet.
Maybe he's just running a little late. There's so many things going on with the family around and all that.
I know. And but anyway, how have you been since I last saw you?
Healing and mending. I had a little rough year this year, but I seem to be back to my full self. For some reason, perhaps I carry burdens others can't. I have no complaints because I came through it really rather healthy. So I'm all ready. I was getting withdrawal, actually, from speaking and working and things of that nature. It was so nice to reconnect to the outside world. I'm really never disconnected to the umbilical of the universe.
I kind of get addicted to it myself. It's like, you know, when you're off radio for so long, for a little while, you're anxious to get back on. I got to tell you, though, our archives for your past shows have been very good.
That's wonderful. I also did want to mention to you, Leo, you did a little excerpt in my book. Actually, it was a very nice excerpt. About our relationship, and I got several responses from it, and I thought you should know that.
Oh, thank you so much. People who bought the book and read it, or people who...
Yes, and they recognized, or they actually called your station for my number, I did hook up with some individuals that were looking for guidance, and between you and me, there was no fee structure on it because if they were seeking, I was there. So I just left it at that.
So people from the station actually called you, what, Joe or others or what?
Well, they said they called the station and they got my email and my phone number. So.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I just thought you should know that there are readers out there that are reading your wonderful works, and they are seeking out truth that you did write in the book. So that's very interesting.
Well, thank you. George just came on here. I'm going to put him on. Good evening, George.
How are you doing, Leo? Lila?
No, it's not Lila. It's Maria tonight. Hello, George.
Hi, Maria. How are you doing, dear?
I'm kind of filling in for Lila. She's busy. I'm so glad that... the three of us could connect again in such a recent period of time. That's so nice.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds real good.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know where we were, actually. I think
we were just recently discussing that individuals called me from what you wrote in the book. They sought me out through the work that you wrote, and I wanted to thank you for
thanks.
That.
That's nice of them to do that. I think I had put your email in there.
Well, perhaps the individuals I spoke to said they called the station and they were. I gave them liberty to give my number out. They asked me first. That's what it was.
Oh, they did. Oh, that's good. Okay.
And which was fine.
Yeah, but I'm glad. I'm glad people are doing that. And
and while George is on the phone, I know we're speaking about your book. George, I just wanted to say what a marvelous, wonderful gathering of karmic eclectic energies we had at the wedding. It was wonderful.
That's true. It really was, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, George, your daughter Krista, she put up a picture of you and of Linda, which is George's wife, and myself. She tagged me in that picture, and put it on my profile page and on her show. So I just wanted, that was a good picture. Whoever took it, I think Krista took it.
Yeah. I got some great girls there. I really do. You know, I love them dearly.
Oh, it's amazing this whole Facebook thing, because I even got a call from my family and they said, "Oh, the radio show host," they didn't even know your name. I apologize for that, but they know because I'm the family. They go, "We didn't realize he was so tall." I said, "Is that all you could say about the book?"
You just got to do something about that hair, Leo. Wear yourself a piece.
Anyway, with all humor aside, there's so many things happening on our planet right now, so many tensions and new avenues for... They're actually
right,
not Maria. New.
There is a lot going on. And, Leo, you know, I see the heading that you had on tonight's show, the Mind Calendar, Fractal Consciousness and Multidimensional Realities. That's nice. If there's anybody out there that wants to talk about any of these things, please call up. Also, Ascension Consciousness. But, you know, it's funny. What's been on my mind is the PR that's going on right now in the UFO world. And, you know, it's only a matter of time. The Mayans talk about this time that, you know, it is a time to meet up with our galactic neighbors. But, you know, I could see them now shuffling to get in line here to grab control of, you know, this new understanding, if you want to call it that. Because if nothing else, acknowledging the extraterrestrials is a step that's going to raise a few eyebrows, but also it's going to change the whole paradigm. And, you know, it's a matter of how they can control this change, you know, to not only control it, but also to manipulate it. As, you know, they've been manipulating this stuff for a long time now.
Men in Black had quite a good effect on that. I don't know. I mean, you've probably seen the show, right? The two shows, the Men in Black.
Yeah. Who hasn't? It's a lot of. I love that stuff.
Well, you know what? There's a new. I don't know how new it is, but just recently, National Geographic had a show on about the March 19th, 1997 sighting, where this craft was a giant V, the size of 12 football fields, and they tracked it 300 miles when it sat over Phoenix. Now, I've been watching for this for a long time, but just recently, it's either National Geographic or the Science Channel, because I'm tuned up to both of them. They're running this program now, if anyone is interested. And what they did was reverse engineering, and there's no way that our technology can produce the same results of this giant craft that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, they have it on tape. It's an interesting show. You can probably even get it online if you need to. But it speaks about this giant craft that was translucent, and it was tracked for over 300 miles. It sat in the air for over 12 minutes, so there's hundreds and hundreds of videos on it. They were trying to describe it as there's no way they could lift a vehicle with the thrust and the fuel. And I think they just seem to miss the idea that there are electromagnetic frequencies, perhaps, that our society and our science hasn't quite caught up to yet. Now, they also mentioned something about Hawking saying that there are ETs out there, but not quite sure if they're friendly or not. Now, we know that, George, because we've been in the field a long time. There's so many different aspects of alien life. And if you even just think of a planet that's just sitting out there by itself, that itself is an entity, whether we see it as the form of life as we know it to be. So there are so many new revelations, and I think within this next decade, all of them, if not most of them, will be revealed to us.
Now, Marie, remember our good friend Richard Hoagland, don't you?
Well, Richard Hoagland started in our basements.
Well, don't jump to conclusion here, but, you know, Richard Hoagland, you know, watching his work for so many years, first of all, you know, he's a journalist, period. He's no science advisor. In fact, the materials that he talks about, even in his books, was taken from other people. And, you know, it's a joke. He's a joke.
From us and how it met.
Let me continue here in a sense that I know him and Dr. Gears got together, and there's a conference, I think, in October, and they're going to be talking about how, you know, things are going to change, that, you know, there is alien life out there, and, you know, they're not all good guys, but he has a way of saving us, or the government and gear and so forth, they have a way of saving us and making sure that everything will be okay when this comes out. So, you know, automatically, it's a yada yada situation here, and
I'm going to interrupt you a minute, George. I apologize for that, but do you actually think our federal or local government is going to save the people? If anything, I believe they may have their own space station available for those who could do that.
I think it's the mentality that these people are working with.
Mm.
You know, they introduce a problem, but they also introduce a solution to the problem when there's no problem to begin with. I think in understanding this Mayan way of life or this Mayan consciousness that we're closing down to, and that's the 2012, is that we are coming to a state where we're changing dimensional realities, and part of that is a part of
polarity change.
Well, it's the evolution of three-dimensional reality, where we're going up and going into a fourth-dimensional reality.
We're actually beyond that, but according to our human level of consciousness, that's what people on, not that we're greater or better than, but direct knowledge is always very helpful.
Well,
you know,
yes,
any
but
event,
Maria, Let me just break this down for a minute, if I can,
please,
and talk about the different levels of consciousness and where we are in the spectrum here and where we're going. Now, you've heard me talk about the Aborigines and how there is a unity consciousness that they share, and the unity consciousness is the dream time. So let's pump this up to everyday life, where we can understand it now, and take a look at Star Trek, the series on TV, Star Trek, of what a hologram is.
Hold that thought for 1 second. I just have to ask Leo some. Leo, remember when we got the message from Bill Marshall, and he said, "Beam me up, Scotty, Star Trek."
Right, yeah.
I think this is what it's about. I'm sorry, George. Go ahead. Go back. It was just a private conversation I had with Leo that just confirms it. Go ahead.
So understand that the dream time that the Aborigines are talking about is the same thing as this device, the holodeck time, if you'd want to call it that, where something is reproduced, and what you do is you step into it, and you can experience it. I mean, you can play with it, you can touch it, you can feel it. But, you know, it is something that comes from the past. Now, that basically is dream time. Now, what has happened is that now we are changing from, let's say, a first level of dream time to a third level of consciousness, where we produce the image itself, and it's not something that's brought from the past. It's something that's live, that changes as thoughts and feelings combined change it.
Well, you know, I wanted to just mention that on last week, I believe it was, I posted a on my Facebook a YouTube video, not a YouTube video, but a David Icke video, an excerpt. It's about 9 minutes long, and he talks. He's been talking lately, and he wrote a new book about it. But he's been talking greatly about this
holographic.
The holographic existence that we are, or that saying that the human being or the third dimension is a hologram. And he goes into that quite a bit. And I'd read anybody listening who has Facebook, or they can just go to davidicke.com and check out his video, where he discusses a lot of what we're talking about right here, right now. And I think
You think about us dreaming every night and waking every morning, they say this whole level of consciousness and this physicality is basically illusion. And I remember reading some work from some of the ancient studies. I don't exactly remember which ones, but there was one phrase in there that really stuck in my mind, and it said, "Yea, ye who looks beyond the veil." That's waking up from the dream that George is talking about, that, you know, this dream world, anything can happen. See, the problem is that the powerful psychic organisms in which we use also exist, and it makes people confused in its natural self. It exists in the personal self and exists in the universal self. So thoughts are things, whether you're waking up from the dream or not. So this is where that a lot of the confusion comes out. It's really not from the world itself. This part of confusion comes from the immaturity of man's inner life. Man has to turn within himself, and he can't always find concord with the desires that he needs, because we have illusion and we have reality. But in all, when we say these different levels of consciousness, there's really just one consciousness, one aspect, or on one planet. They speak of unity of the universe. But what happens is, as we're maturing spiritually, mentally, physically, evolving, many times man turns within inside himself and can't find the blend. So the soul itself feels either darkened or doesn't know why it's here. And that exists in everybody. It's a condition of the senses. We have mental, physical, sensuality, and all of those things. And it's moved about by our own thoughts and emotions. And there's very little stability in ordinary individuals that don't, or that are not aware of the inner part of his own life. And I believe, even though there may be certain people of stability, many of them are unable to command in their own daily needs the combination of these two worlds together. So therefore, we have a lot of confused beings out there. That's why I honor your show and finding any orientation to make people become able, dependent upon their own soul understanding or spirituality. And I'm going to go beyond the box of religion. Pardon me?
If I can jump in a sense.
Sure.
Jump into this. And, you know, I understand what you're saying, but in talking about ascension and so forth, if that's the goal or the drive that we have, people are looking for that. I think we are ascending back an upward spiral of something that we spiraled down from before. So it's something we're aware of, and right now we're just remembering something we already know. And, you know, I'm talking about the consciousness that's connected with this three-dimensional reality that we've stepped into. And there is an evolution of thought and of consciousness itself. And when I was talking about the dream time, I was talking about the consciousness that as an entity, a spiritual soul, that you step into, something that already has been created or that's continuing to create. But
we
it's locked in a time sequence.
Yeah, we understand that. But
yeah, but you know, so, taking this one step further is that we are coming to a point where we're dealing with real time, where what we think is manifesting not from the past, but manifesting from the now, which is made up of not only our thoughts, but also of our feelings. So it's something that's instantaneous, that has nothing to do with time, that is instant. And this is what we're experiencing at this point. We've gone through the learning process and the polarity process of good and bad and so forth, but what's happening is that we have taken the sides, or we have combined our polarity consciousness into a drive, where what we're experiencing now is a drive in an illusional reality that we are creating, but it has substance with real time, and it's not something that's been fabricated like a holograph. So come November, the Mayans talk about the time we will enter, that we will start creation with reality and with the illusion that we have around us. I mean, we live in one illusion, and that is the illusion that we are drawn to, because we track to us the illusion that we want.
Well, that's where man becomes confused.
I don't think he's confused. I think he's just
experiencing. We're learned in the field. George, forgive me for interrupting, but we're learned in the field. We're scholars in the field. We've been studying this probably for eons and not just this lifetime. So what I'm finding with individuals crossing my path, they don't feel stable. Maybe it's because of the way the government is running and how it's used in their daily needs. Therefore, these beings become our human beings, and I'm not saying we're greater than anybody else. Perhaps we've traveled the path a little bit longer and we've studied longer, but I find that individuals are finding little, if any, ability to depend upon the things around him or the power within him. This is a double confusion. This brings great sorrow, causes man to move from within and without. Also, our society right now, there's an excess of a certain attitude, a selfishness, opinionism, and various convictions that may or not be founded in fact. The inner life of man is not factual merely because it's within him, any more than the world around him is non-factual merely because it's a world around him. The human being can't therefore take a simple position that all form within is good and all form outside is bad. He doesn't know where to depend totally on the guidance of his instincts any more than he can depend on the advice of his neighbors. This is where we have to break through spiritually. Yes, the dream world. Yes, the idea that we're being guided. But we can't, I'm talking about humanity itself cannot depend totally on the guidance of the government or his neighbor or what perhaps we're even saying on the radio. They need these personal experiences to go with inside themselves. And when they go in, they have to turn within and actually seek their purpose. Why am I here? What am I doing here? Evolution is happening. Where do I seek? And this is beyond religions and ideas of laws, who can build what, where in New York, and all of these things. This is more like the dark side of the soul, or the dark night. So what you're talking about is that many people are in this dark night of dream, waking up into the soul. Now, when you talk about the moment of reality, even now where we sit, it takes 8 minutes for the sunlight to get here. So where we are right now has already been established in previous thought processes as we're walking into that manifestation.
Well, I, for one, say that I'm there. Instead of having to walk in there, I'm already there.
Yeah, we're there because these thoughts were preconceived prior to coming into this lifetime, or a thought we may have had a second ago or years ago or a moment ago, because energy follows thought. These are laws of the universe. We don't make these up. It's just how it works. But if we can open up the consciousness of listeners or individuals that they have the ability and the power and the conviction that
they know that
purpose.
Already,
what's that?
I think they know that already.
Oh, I know you know that. I'm sending it out.
I think they know that already, because that's why they're questioning.
Well, you
they
know,
just need some.
Well, if you know, you don't question. There's a conviction.
Well,
yeah.
Yes, but see,
what
people,
do you say, Leo?
They have to get a confirmation, or they have to have acknowledgement before they'll accept it. And it's that's not something that they give themselves credit for. But I think it's just a matter of time where they get enough acknowledgement where they accept it themselves. But it's basically the lack of confidence in themselves.
Yeah, because they're attempting to command things that they're not in the right aisle at Costco. Suppose they're down the aisle where the automotive stuff is, and they're commanding a piece of cake. It's in a different aisle. So the awareness, this is what's so great about your show, the awareness of what aisle to go into to retrieve what you're seeking, at least have some appetizers out so that they can nibble and taste and test for themselves how these laws work.
You know, if I can just say, the Hopi have said that we are, this for this generation, we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I agree.
We are the ones we've been waiting for. And I was reading that book, The Pleiades, George's book by Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn, and how she states that she channeled the Pleiadians, all right, through this, and they had the same basic message that you know, we understand who we are or what they are, and the time is now, so that those who like George said, he's already there, you're already there, I believe I'm already there, in the sense that we understand.
We're multidimensional, yes.
Where we are, you know, and George, one afternoon woke me up to that fact when I was questioning fourth dimensional existence, and he says, "Christ, Leo, you're living in the fourth dimension." He says, "You are in the fourth."
That's true, because our consciousness is, you could say, evolved, or we have. Access to knowledge, direct knowledge.
I'm a sentinel being having a human experience. I've said it. I've said this over
George,
and over.
George, that's locked into my brain. I tell it to everybody.
No,
human beings having a spiritual experience or divine experience.
No. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. But in a sense, what's happening is that, I forget sometimes, but I am holding this whole illusion together. When I say this illusion, even this phone call that I'm talking about, you know, I am holding it together, and even the properties around me. And, you know, I give myself credit for that. But, hey, I give everybody credit for that, because everybody has the same or is the same type of being or sentinel being, which is product of the creator or the source. And I am just part of that source, and I'm all equal with them, and they're equal with me. So
I call it crazy glue.
you know, George. You know, it was phenomenal about 2 weeks ago. I was looking at the extended weather forecast, and I said, and I saw that the Saturday the 9th, which was your daughter's wedding, and the 14th of this month, those were the only 2 days of the week, of the last 2 weeks, that were supposed to be perfect days. In fact, so much so that each day by the weather report stated that it was one of the top, both days were one of the, were the of the top 10 best days of the year.
There you go.
Yeah.
They call it synchronicity, Leo.
And it was funny because I thought about it, and knowing you, how you are and how you think, you had no doubt in your mind that it was going to be a good day on that Saturday, you know what I mean? And it was really strange, and I used that same positive, that was the word I'm looking for, a vision, all right, that same idea, and projected it on the following weekend. And by God, those 2 days turned out to be, like I said again, of the top 10 days of the year.
That's how we wound up on vacation. We went to take a ride, and we wound up staying 3 days out east because it was so beautiful.
just knowing or visualizing that good that day, and so much work went into that one day. Both from the standpoint of George's incredible wedding in the backyard and all the work and preparation that went into that one day, and as well as the following many weeks preparing our place for that one party. And it just like projecting that day forward, all right, it manifested into a perfect day. Again, like I say, even the weather report stated that those 2 days in August, the 9th and the 14th, were the most were of the 10 best days of the entire year, all right, weather-wise.
I want to tell you a little secret.
Yeah.
I've learned how to do that, and that was over the years. You want to know how?
Oh.
Every year I used to have an annual flambé.
Right.
The best.
Remember my clam bakes. And what I do is that I put out to the world, well, I want beautiful weather. But you see, it's not as easy as that. And here what I did is that, you know, I had my own rituals that I would do a rain dance, if you'd want to call it that, or a sun dance beforehand to procure this.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it worked, and sometimes it didn't. And I always tell myself, well, maybe if I do this a little bit differently, it'll be better. And after a while, I was able to perfect it where I could predict somewhat, you know, what kind of weather I would have. And those times that went bad, in fact, Maria, I think you remember one time I needed a tent.
Yes.
And I got a tent from somebody you knew from Brooklyn, and
that's
it was
right.
A multicolored tent, and we used that for the clam bake. And it rained for an hour or two, but I think the sun came out and everything was fine. But, you know,
seeking manifested.
At that point, I told myself there was a reason why I had to have a bad day. And, you know, it's because I needed to balance the polarity to, you know, understand how it works and how I feel. And my confidence in the following years was 100%. You know, I had no doubt about it. But, you know, from that point on, I told myself I didn't have a bad rain day. I had a day that had character. And from that point on, I never have a bad day. A day has character, good and bad, and I look at it as such. So at this point, I know my day is going to have character, and I put out the best, and it will come back to me.
Well,
the
reason I mentioned that was because when I saw the weather report for that week of your wedding, and I saw rain and cloudiness and fair, you know, poor weather most of the week except for that one day. And that one day was supposed to be, you know, all the predictions said it was going to be a beautiful day. And I thought, God, that's George That has to be something George is thinking. That has to be some cosmic consciousness there going on. And you know, and what happened was, is I was so convinced that you had manipulated that with your mind to that extent that you, you know, put it out there that you wanted.
You call it grace, Leo.
You
call
it
grace. A grace from the universe, and may I just want to get this one thought in before it passes through my mind quickly. George leaves the world as an example or an incentive or a solution. He inspires those who may have similar intent and purpose. So let's consider his thought process as a guide to what you would call the fourth dimension, by having absolute purpose and intent for that day, experience, or whatever. And
there
he has mastered that. And I thank you for the friendship too, George, by the way.
But I think that, I just to finish my thought on that, was that the power of that thought, all right, seemed to carry over with me anyway, and I projected it on the following week. And I looked at the weather report on Monday, and the Monday stated that the weather was going to be iffy all the way through until Saturday. And Saturday was going to be a perfect day. Now, I had already imagined that in my mind before I saw the report, but it just reaffirmed in my mind that it was going to be a perfect day. Okay, I had already affirmed it in my mind.
I had no doubt. George is my friend and colleague.
George inspired me on that one because his day was perfect. And, you know, I said, you know, that was the one perfect day of the whole week, all right? And so, and I saw the same thing happening the following week, and I predicted and I affirmed that Saturday was going to be perfect, and by God, it was. It was a perfect weather day. And
it was a group effort, by the way, when we talk about different groups. So many people wanted it to be a beautiful day.
I think so. Yeah, we had many people here. We had about 25 people, and everybody wanted it to be a good day because everybody came, and it was really great. And not
to mention the preparatory aspects that George and his family went through to create perfect day.
All of those thoughts and all of that action.
The beautiful flowers that were planted, everything was set in motion, and
right.
The reality manifested.
Well,
it was
a great day. There's no doubt about it. If I can, I sent an email out to some of my UFO friends, I wanted to touch base if I could. But I think some of these changes that are going to take place come this fall. I mentioned before Greer and Hoagland and so forth with the conferences that are coming up. And I do believe that, you know, it's going to be a time maybe that the acknowledge the government or the authorities that be will acknowledge, you know, this outside alien situation. But I think, excuse me, what I would like to say is that, yes, there is alien life out there. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But understand that some of this alien life is also locked into this three-dimensional reality that we call consciousness. And they manifest on three levels, in giving them body and substance and so forth. And they basically are in the same place that we are, in a sense, of are locked into, let's say, the Luciferian type of physical matter. So, you know, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, but we're locked into this physical evolution along with our galactic neighbors. But understand that we have other principles of our spiritual nature, our physical nature, and that is regrowth and spiritual growth. And understanding the people who have been following the UFO field, but the situation with the Greys and with the abductions that have been going on, where there was a lot of manipulation, fetus manipulation. And the problem is that, you know, the DNA has been spread to a point where they need to replenish their DNA. And I'm talking about some of these aliens. And because what they have done is that they've left the procreation to test tubes or to artificial means instead of real means or spiritual means. Or,
we have that right now physically with the introduction into the artificial insemination or multi eggs being deposited into women and things of that nature.
Well, take a look at Star Wars and, you know, all the science fiction stories that we hear, how babies are, they're grown in incubators. But that basically is not only the mentality, but, you know, the lack of spiritual essence that goes into life itself. You need those factors. I mean, we talked a couple weeks ago about some of the latest technology that we can actually produce life, real life, bacteria, and the only way we can tell it from the real stuff from artificial is because of the trademarks that are built into it. And when I say trademarks,
right,
it's the water stains that they use to identify this portion of this genome was put together by your friend at BCC property rights, if you'd want to, or trademarks, or patents, if you'd want to call it that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are at that point where we could use it for our good or against us. And it's not that it doesn't exist. It is real. And
yeah,
in fact, anything and everything that we've thought about in the last 50, 60 years has manifested itself because from a collective point of view, we have been able to do that. Now, what's going to happen in November is we'll be doing that on a personal level, and we'll have our own little worlds going on in our own little heads.
Well, they are trying to reproduce a whole universe in a little bubble with these scientists. But if I may just interject something, and what it is, the soul itself must become the servant, and when the soul is in service to reality, it's enlightened. It's a conviction, it's a discipline, it's a gradual redemption of itself. Now, what we're talking about as far as the evolution, that's the mystery of the great alchemical transformation, transmutation. That attainment is what's occurring now, and it's going to be true, and it's going to be stable in the psychic life of people. Without this internal stability, all the other labors are in vain. So by the nature of this alchemical transformation, and I'm only using that word because they can manipulate DNA, they can do all those things. So where we're at is an evolutionary process to the old way, now moving into that fourth dimension you were talking about.
You know, I was just going to mention, I read an article recently about that 20% of human DNA, that's yours and mine and everybody's, has already been patented. 20%
of
the DNA is patented. All right? We don't even... Mm-hmm. Oh, for crying out loud.
I find that funny. I really do, you know?
Because really all of it has been done, but they only say 20% because we are in existence now. My concern is that individuals who haven't truly looked in this direction, the average person seems to have a greater memory of sorrow than joy, and they lose that connection, and they're more concerned about suffering, especially with the economy. So what we call suffering is a constant reminder to us of our own inefficiencies. Now, suffering is a challenge of reality that's constantly besetting us. But if we recognize that when problems beset someone, it's because the universe imposes discipline upon that which does not discipline itself.
Well, if I can just state, The Buddhist, Tibetan Buddhist philosophy is centered around states that people are constantly on the wheel of sorrow or samsara wheel.
That's what I'm talking about.
Which
we
is
call
the
it the,
right.
the wheel of suffering, right?
Right.
The wheel of 84, it's called, actually.
Well, the samsara wheel, and he says that they say that the only way to get off the samsara wheel is through
the fourth gate.
No, through wisdom and compassion.
Right, and that's the fourth gate.
The fourth gate, which
the
is
the fourth dimension, which is the dimension that you were talking about earlier.
Right. Okay. I didn't explain it in that way so much, but I understand it to be that way because now everybody keeps seemingly becoming reincarnated back into a sorrowful state, and they keep making the same mistakes over and running the same patterns over and over and over again, and it's not until they learn the way, either, and he states wisdom and compassion is the way to jump off that wheel and
grace, yes,
yeah, and go into the the higher life, you know, rather than keep coming back and into the wheel of sorrow. So
well, part of the problem, if I may, is just as a good parent needs to discipline a child, and the child at the moment resents the discipline and enters into a private psychological world of his own, the child can fill itself with self-pity and a sense of injustice. So then the soul itself and the mind and the emotions, whenever presented with discipline, are inclined to develop a self-pity. And then the individual starts feeling sorry for himself instead of realizing that perhaps his thought process was a mistake or things of this nature. So to turn, my mother always said we had necks to turn people's heads. And it's not so much even the outside world when we're talking about that compassion from Buddha and whatnot. The truth is that the individual needs to have the knowing or the belief that somewhere and somehow there's an umbilical to the universe that we're constantly connected to.
That is wisdom that they talk about. The wisdom and the compassion is the nature that comes from that wisdom. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. I think I'm on the same track.
Because a lot of times man is wrong, you know, especially the youth nowadays. You know, I want Prada shoes, and they're totally forgetting, not everybody, but with the pressure on the economics, the way the government is working right now, not too many people are happy, they're out of work, and they have a tendency not to trust anything outside of their own thought process. So in bringing up this idea of, yes, we're in a dream, what we're discussing now is reality because we're manifesting it just like we manifested or George did or groups did of a beautiful day of group consciousness. But it exists on all levels, not only the fourth dimension. It's like being in an elevator. You can go to the basement or you can go to the penthouse. It's whatever level of consciousness that individual is familiar with. So you can press the button to the penthouse, jump over to the fourth dimension and beyond, or some people just stay in the infrastructure and afraid to press the button to see where to go. But basically, it is compassion. It's a knowing that greater aspects are available and clarified if you truly are a seeker of the truth. And if you ask for direct knowledge, those manifestations will happen, including information about Mayan worlds, previous civilizations, why they rose, why they fell, even the aspects where many of, like Galileo and our great scientists, were actually put in jail for knowing the truth. So some people are a little truth shy. They may be afraid to speak about particular religions, or maybe even some religions may be too limiting for their thought process, and then they find themselves in a dilemma, and they may even feel isolated. But any problem that exists, the answer is always within that problem.
Yeah, I understand.
Am I going too deep here?
I fully understand. Well, what do you think, George?
That's the best way to do it. Just laugh and smile and know it's true.
You know, it's funny because so many things are moving so quick now, and so many different avenues are turning, just like the economy. Take a look at what's happened with the soil spill. You know, it's like turned around in a week and a half, but it hasn't turned around. Nothing has changed other than they shut it off, and they try to get away with saying that, you know, 75% of it was cleaned up, which is a bunch of blue. You know, they things are happening, it's got to have some kind of a reflex, and I don't see it.
Well, George, if there be truth in the belief that man must sometime, somewhere, find release from the pressures of his own nature, where's he going to begin? He's got to go inside.
Well, I for the longest time here, I've been saying that we needed some kind of intervention. And, you know, I do believe that maybe something did intervene on our behalf, the humans have, that is, or humanity's have, and at least, took the pressure off of it, which it did do. But I think maybe it might be a chance where we could use some of this new technology that, you know, I talked about that's mm-hmm. out there, and clean this stuff up without having to blow it way out of proportion. Because right now it's a numbers game and it's a money game. Who's getting paid? Who isn't getting paid? And, you know, what happened to the checks that were supposed to be in the envelopes that weren't there? I mean, you know, we could play these games for a long time. But, you know, I think right now is that it's got to come to a head, and it's got to be worked out. And I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to work itself out, but it's going to be done by an altogether different way of doing things. And that's what I think is part of our future that's coming,
right.
And that's going to be coming this fall and this winter.
Yeah, if the world if the economic system collapses, there will be no. I mean, people will have to resort to other means
We will. Yeah. Okay. They will. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So well,
if not bartering, you know, like has always been a standby. We've used that.
I think
may be put into operation.
Yeah, well,
but I think it's whatever we have, whatever you have now is what you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Leo, what's happening is the whole of everybody is working with the sequence of defense mechanisms. Then the truth is to become open, to relax our own egotism, and to become capable of thinking. Sorry about that. Capable of taking a receptive attitude to that instead of continually defending our position. We need to be more receptive with internal integrity of our position to discover, first of all, whether or not something should be defended, or we simply permit all the coloring due to the pressures from the outside world. Gradually, we're going to come face to face with our own actions. Now, what we need to do, what we truly, in my own opinion, now this is my opinion.
I agree.
What we need to do is take a simple internal receptivity to what we understand and an intellectual effort of what we believe or know truth to be, no matter what your religion is.
If I can take that to the world level and just say, for an example, If we look at the look at, I want to direct to our toward the just to a second toward Pakistan, that 1 in 10 people in Pakistan right now are homeless due to floods.
That's correct.
Right? Due to this flood, I mean, it's it, and they're starving over there, and one of the major problems is even though people know it, they just had an emergency in Haiti, they had an emergency in Afghanistan, they have an emergency here and there, but it's like people over there, 1 in 10 people are actually homeless. Okay, there's over 20 million homeless people in right now in Pakistan.
There really is.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that the focus of the world isn't there. It's like for some reason it's not there. And even though the media has stated it, it's out there. The consciousness isn't being directed there because it, as Maria said, it's being. It seems to, that people are now seeking inward. They're turning inward because mm-hmm. there's so much craziness going on out there. They're just going. You know, they're unemployed. They can't help. What can they do? You know what I mean? Or they've already given, or they've already done what they could do. So it seems like whenever you see this great tragedies happening, and so many of them all at one time, it's as though you turn into yourself to protect you. You're like the turtle. You know, you go into your shell.
You know what you do?
Protect yourself. What's that?
You do? You pay it forward.
Yes. But the difficulty is that we fail to achieve constructive results with attitude. I'm sorry, I had a beep come in. Let me repeat that. We fail to achieve constructive results with these outside attitudes. That's why we have to have the courage to face it, and then we must continue to go inward to present these concepts to what you understand, your God or universe or... Even if you're an atheist, the cosmic law is at action.
Hey, it's hard to understand this because it's what's hard to understand is how, you know, who God bless. If you're living well and healthy and whatever, you know, whatever your state of physical reality is, and you say, my God, I must be blessed. Well, but, you know, next to these poor individuals or these poor people in Haiti or in Pakistan or...
Angels, I call them.
Whatever, wherever the horrible conditions...
Angels.
You know, you just say, oh, my God, you know, how can this be? Why am I...
Yeah, they don't understand why the system fails for them. Their own strength, because many of these countries are very spiritual in certain ways.
Right.
I apologize for that. I should have shut the phone off. Can you hear that behind me? I apologize.
Yeah, put it on vibration there.
Yeah, I did. I thought I did, but I'm shutting it now, so forgive me there for a minute. Let me just get it off. I thought I put it on vibe, but I didn't. Okay.
Right.
I apologize for that.
We have about 2 minutes left, believe it
or
not.
Oh, gosh, that went fast. I used to get warmed up.
I'd love to have you back on next week, both of you or one of you for sure.
I can't always promise a Friday, but you know I'm more than happy to do the show. Since my husband's retired, we take off sometimes on Thursdays, don't come back till Wednesdays. But this time I have to fix my laptop. I had a problem with it for Tuesday. I wanted to do it in last Friday. So I will get those things in order. George, it's great to talk to you. And the idea of that we are living as our thought process has manifested, it's also wise to send to these countries all graced as we know grace to be. With that, Leo, happy birthday to Lila. What a pleasure it is to be on the air again with you and George. And we'll connect again real soon. I thank you for having me, by the way.
My pleasure, dear.
It's a real pleasure, Maria. And George, always, I thank you so much for being on and sharing with you. And we'll be talking real soon.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Maria.
Bye now.
Good night, George.
Good night, Leo. I'll be speaking with you, my friend.
You too, guy.
Peace.
Have a good week. I'll talk to you soon. I want to thank everybody who's joined us tonight, and wish you an excellent weekend, and hope you'll join us again next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and have a pleasant evening. Good night.